Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave doesn't seem to be in room 4216. I wonder if something came up or if he's sick or something. But he would have told me ahead of time, I would have thought. Wait, here's something in Braille that on the chair where I usually sit. Looks like a note. Dear Cecilia, I've had other work come up today and I'm swamped. You'll have to do this podcast on your own. I'm sure you'll do a great job in room 4216. You know where we left off, so you'll be able to continue. Good luck, Pastor Dave. He just left me with this whole podcast to do. I've never taught a lesson of room 4216 on my own before. Does he know how much work he just gave me? No warning, no nothing? Okay, what do we do first? Well, we usually summarize what we've read from the lesson before. And in chapter 4, Moses is still trying to make excuses and finally says, "Oh Lord, please send someone else." Well, God says, "No, it's your job." And as he's going back to Egypt, he meets his brother Aaron. He tells Aaron everything that God had said and everything that God had done. Aaron and Moses gather the elders of Israel, and they tell them everything that God had said, and they do the signs with the snake and with the Moses hand becoming leprous, but then being clean, and they tell them, hey, God is still concerned. He still cares for you. When the elders of Israel heard this, they bowed down and worshiped. And that was the end of chapter 4. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. If Pastor Dave were here, he would say, so, Cecilia, I suppose you have questions?
Well, yes. Actually, I do. But I think I can sort of fit two questions into one. Why did Pharaoh not allow the Israelites to go and worship? And why did he take his anger out on them and make them work so hard? Now, I did have to do some study ahead of time to get the answer I think Pastor Dave would give.
It's all about control. Pharaoh wants everyone to think he's in charge. I mean, here he's told by his God to let the people go and worship, but he thinks he's God. So this puny God of slaves doesn't mean anything to him. As to working harder, well, he says the Israelites are lazy. I think that's just a dig at them. But he's going to show them that he's in control by making them gather their own straw. The straw is used to hold the clay together to make the bricks. And they have to make the same number of bricks they do on any other day.
Well, that's just making Pharaoh unreasonable, unfair, and cruel.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to summarize the next 10 verses since they're a bit repetitive. The Israelites were told, you have to make the same number of bricks as you did before, but you're not getting any straw. You have to gather that yourself. When they couldn't meet their quotas, they were beaten. So the Israelite foreman went to Pharaoh and said, why are you doing this to us? Pharaoh said, lazy, that's what you are. Now get back to work. And I'll read from verses 20 through 23. When the Israelite foreman left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Well, I don't need Pastor Dave to talk about this one. I mean, how many times have you done something right? Or you've been a good person? Or you've tried to serve the Lord? And what's happened? It's blown up in your face? You've been blamed? Or you've simply been mistreated or pushed aside. But then, you know, we really shouldn't expect anything different. I mean, Christ talked about this. In fact, I was in a Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about this. We were studying the book of 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and following. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you are healed. Finish chapter 5. All right, let's start chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses,
Now you will see what I will do to the Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hands, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as your possession. I am the Lord.
Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses,
Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country.
But Moses said to the Lord, If the Israelites would not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?
I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you.
Hey, Cecilia, I finally made it.
Oh, now he shows up.
Well,
when the work is just about done.
Well, the parish ministry just took me away so much. I'm sure you did a great job. And did you get a lot done?
I certainly tried.
Go ahead.
I'm just working on part of Exodus 6.
Yeah, I caught the reading of that. I slipped in just as that was being recorded. What an amazing chapter.
Kind of sounds repetitive to me in a way.
Oh, it's not, though. It's not. In fact, what is bringing to my mind is a conversation I've had, two conversations with David from prison. He's in prison for murder one, life. And he doesn't mind me sharing his story. He said, if people can learn from me and stop, not do what I did and learn about Jesus, please share my story. David calls me up about, well, lately it's been twice a week. And he's been in there for like 27 years, maybe 30 already. And he knows he will never get out. And it is a ugly, cruel, nasty, God-forsaken place. I'm using his words. The people are cruel and nasty. It's hard to have faith as Christians. People pick on him for being a Christian, and he's so discouraged. He doesn't know if he's worth living anymore. By the way, does that sound familiar to you in any way? Maybe to the Israelites there in Egypt?
Yeah.
Slavery? Uh-huh. And he says, I don't feel like, David now, in prison, I don't even feel like I have any faith. I said, David, it's not about feeling. It's about trusting God. And that's where it comes back. And this is what I told David, is just what God told Moses. The people were discouraged. Moses was discouraged. We're going to give up. You didn't help us. And what does God say? I made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I brought you up from the land. I'm going to give you a land. I am going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to free you, and I'm going to redeem you. These are the promises I'm making. And at the end of all that, when Moses questioned it again, God just said, I am the Lord, go. Sometimes in life, we are like David in prison, or like the Israelites in Egypt, that we can't see beyond our circumstances, and it feels like total despair. And that's when we cling to the promises that God gives us. what God gave Moses and the people was he would bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And that was a picture for you and me that he would bring us out of our bondage and free us and redeem us from sin, death, and the devil and give us our promised land. Now, we don't have that yet, just like the Israelites didn't have it. We're starting to have it, but we really don't get it completely until we're with him in heaven.
In heaven.
Yeah. So this does relate so much to us today.
I guess it does.
What a neat, neat verse.
Count on you to come in and in 5 minutes summarize everything all neat in a neat package.
I just came in at the right time at the end to catch it all, the best part. I'm sure you struggled with some other stuff in there, and I'm sure you had questions and answers and so forth. But, hey, how about you listeners out there? Do you have any questions? Please write us. You can do so at
info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.
That's N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E.
Dot.
N-E-T. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.